Dear fellow redeemed, as a teenager, I can remember debating my father whenever I'd need permission for certain things, and I would often employ the argument, well, Dad, everybody else is wearing it, or everybody else is doing it, to which my father would affectionately reply, well, if everybody else was jumping off a cliff, would you do it too? And I'd be forced to admit, well, no. Now, the rather blunt point that my father made to me was also a very valid one. It's true. Just because a certain behavior is popular, just because something is done by many people, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for you. Or more importantly, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right or acceptable to God. Today we hear the words of Jesus. He says, enter, he's speaking to Christians here, he says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. This lesson today is all about the end game, eternal life or eternal destruction. And the road, we are told by Jesus, to eternal destruction is wide. And there are many people who travel on it. It is wide because it's very popular because it is wide. It's very spacious. It's roomy. It's easy to travel along. There aren't any restrictions on this road. Some of you here this week are freshmen. Perhaps you're experiencing life on your own as a college student for the first time, and the freedoms that come along with that, the new freedoms. Many of you are returning students. And there is a warning. One of the warnings here in this text for you this morning is not to confuse your freedom now as a college student with freedom to indulge in behaviors of that belong on that wide path. Ask yourself not whether the behavior is popular, but whether it's pleasing to the Lord. The wide path is like a multi-lane freeway, which is constantly crowded. Many people travel on it. Many temptations in the world. But you know, it's not just the behavior of the people who travel along that wide road that we are to avoid. In fact, there are many people who are traveling along that wide road to destruction who are very well behaved. They have very high morals. Rather, we are to avoid their thinking and their words, their ideologies, their philosophies, their religions. One example of a thought that's very appealing to us is the thought that I can earn my way into heaven by merit of my good behavior, my good works. By my achievements, I can please God and earn a place in heaven. And yet this very popular thought, which is the basis of most of the world's religions, is directly opposed to the narrow path that God speaks of in His Word. For our Lord tells us the truth, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just one sin excludes you and me from heaven. Just one sin leads us to the path of destruction. popular thought, one that's very appealing, maybe we could call it the religion of today, is that it doesn't matter what name you give to God, because, after all pathways lead to heaven. It's a very nice thought, isn't it? Very appealing to us. Very easy thought. And yet again, it goes directly against what Jesus said. In fact, he spoke out against that kind of thinking. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." It is only by the pathway of Christ's cross that sinners can be reconciled to the Father. Jesus said in our lesson, "Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Dear friends, Jesus is that small gate. Jesus is that narrow pathway. Jesus surrendered his flesh and his blood on Calvary in order to pay for your sins. With Jesus' powerful blood, he was able to make payment for every one of your sins, even your most difficult sins, even your worst sin. It has been forgiven by Jesus' blood, his sacrifice. And it is by faith now, trusting in Jesus, not in ourselves, but in Christ, that that forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation becomes yours personally. Twelve days ago, I was in Brisbane Airport trying to make my way back to the United States. And this happened. I had to make my return flight right after the terrorist plot in England was uncovered to do with the liquid explosives. And so there were all kinds of new restrictions on people who were taking international flights into the States. Well, I went through the first security measure there at the airport. I went through security and I thought, well, that wasn't too bad. And I started walking towards the gate 86, and as I got around 85, I saw this big barricade across the terminal, that hallway, and about 15 security personnel standing there, and this narrow little entryway to get to gate 86. If anyone wanted to board that flight, they had to go through that metal detector, and they patted us all down. They searched through our carry-on luggage. They even, to the extent of, I had a bottle of vitamins and they opened it up and looked in the vitamins, everything. And I even had to, they confiscated, I had a bottle of contact lens solution that I had to give to them, and they threw that away because it was a liquid. The pathway to life, the narrow way for the Christian, is one of repentance. We live lives of faith in Christ, and we live lives of repentance, daily searching our hearts, examining our lives, and confessing our sins to the Father. We trust in Christ. We receive that forgiveness of sins that he has won for us on the cross. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we amend our sinful lives. Now, that often means that we have to give up a part of us. Maybe it's something that's very special to us or precious to us that we value, but it's worth it. And Jesus provides for you on your journey to strengthen you, his word and his sacraments. Following the narrow path may make you unpopular at times. Jesus warns us that the narrow way to eternal life may be difficult and painful. But he promises you that it will certainly lead to eternal life in heaven through his life, death, and resurrection. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning we remember in our prayers Dr. Wilhelm Petersen, a former president of our synod and president of the seminary. He is undergoing surgery this morning, gallbladder surgery this morning, in fact, even as we speak. And so we remember him in our prayers this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, you are our bread of life. We thank you for the fragrant sacrifice that you made at Calvary, that was fragrant to the Father and pleasing to him. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins you have won for us, and therefore the life and salvation. Dear Lord, we ask that you would be with our brother in the faith, Wilhelm. We ask that you would guide the hands of the surgeons and doctors as they operate and take care of him, that if it be your will, dear Lord, he would be restored to full health. We ask, dear Lord, that you would keep him in your precious hands and assure him and comfort him and remind him of your promises that he has everlasting life through you. Comfort all of us with that certain grace that you have given to us. Amen.